your Son, our God, our Savior, and that his love for his people are unending. Amazing grace. My God, you have rescued me. You have rescued us. We thank you and are eternally grateful to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Neil Postman, a popular author, in fact, he was author of an amazing book probably around 45 years ago entitled Amusing Yourselves to Death. He was talking about the TV. He once said about the Christian faith, Christianity is a demanding and serious religion. When it is delivered as easy and amusing, it is another kind of religion altogether. In our gospel reading for this morning, the Lord Jesus spells out what loving him above all means in very specific ways. Our commitment to him must have the highest priority, even above loyalty to family. This morning, we'll be looking at a passage where Jesus explains that the Christian faith has a polarizing effect on the people around us. If we truly place our allegiance with Christ, there will be friction with some people. But Jesus also reminds us that giving him first priority is the most important thing we can do. And so Jesus uses three illustrations in this passage. At first glance, they may seem unrelated to each other, but I think we'll see all three emphasize the same thing. Following Christ wholeheartedly is of the utmost importance. So my first point is having right priorities. Luke 12, 49 and 50 begins with these words. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. The Lord Jesus speaks and uses the illustration of fire. The fire that Jesus speaks of is the baptism of his death. Jesus' death is a baptism which he refers to. Jesus accepts his death as a divine plan for bringing salvation to sinners. On the cross, Jesus speaks of the completion of his work as he is dying. And he says in John 19:30, it is finished. And so the shadow of the cross hung over our Lord, and he knew the manner of his death and that it was the very purpose of his coming. Jesus' death was not an accident. Jesus did not suffer as a victim. He willingly laid down his life for sinners. But though Jesus accepted the inevitability of his death, nothing could make it attractive. He was, in fact, distressed until his death was accomplished. In Luke 12, 51, the Lord goes on to say this, "Do you suppose I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division." The words of the Lord Jesus may have a jarring effect on us as we listen to them. We are used to focusing on Christ who brings peace to the earth at his first coming. For instance, on the night in which he was born, the message of the angel to the shepherds recorded in Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." This message is summarized in the Christian hymn, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." So we're used to hearing about Jesus coming to bring peace. And yet, in the opening verses of this passage, the words of our Lord Jesus is that he has not come to bring peace on earth. Luke 12, 49 through 53 expresses Jesus' admonition that the disciples still missed the point. While it is true that Jesus came to bring peace, embracing our humanity for our salvation, peace with God. Here our Lord emphasizes his message will bring division between those who accept it and those who reject it. They need to value and anticipate the kingdom of God, not earthly respect, riches, survival, or honor. To follow Jesus, they will need to be willing to sacrifice family relationships. In Luke 12, 52 and 53, the Lord Jesus is explicit about how his gospel brings division. From now on, five members in one household will be divided, two against three, and three against two. They will be divided father against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. We hear these jarring words, and it seems like a family feud. And Jesus tells us that he brings division between Christian believers and unbelievers, first within Israel, and in due time, even among the Gentiles as well. This division would cut across family ties as the gospel continues to do so in each generation. And it is here that our Lord is very clear that families will be divided. It is with these specific details that someone has to count the cost of being a follower of Christ, when one will have to face perhaps division in one's own family. And it is here that the gospel is difficult. These are hard words of Jesus, because division within a family is awkward and prickly. It's difficult to deal with. Family members are people you see every day. And if it is the case that these family members don't want to talk to you anymore because of your faith in Christ, even that is a hardship that is taxing to bear. Loving Christ above all takes on new and sobering meaning when looked at from the repercussions within one's immediate family. Because of the inclusion of in-law relationships spoken of here, I think it's in view that all these relationships are adults. Thus, the Lord Jesus is having us look at the sobering reality that the truth of the gospel may bring division among those who humbly accept Christ and those who vehemently reject Christ, between those who are open to God's message versus those who are opposed to God and his Son. Genuine peace with God has a division, as division as a byproduct in this present age, is due to the fact that not everybody has the gift of faith, and not everybody embraces the gospel. Before I leave this point of having the right priorities, let me inject also this application. When people within your own family, whether adult children, siblings, in-laws, are not professing Christians, this does not mean we should initiate the cutting off of relationships with them. I think it is wise to keep the door open and the welcome mat out and not burn bridges with people until and unless those family members want to cut off relationships, in which case you should give them space to do so. But as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. This admonition leads us in a habit that we should try our best when we need to agree to disagree agreeably. And yes, that's a lifetime assignment. We don't always get it right, but that's the goal that we're going toward. I know traveling this road is hard and taxing, but it is the path we should follow, if at all possible, Paul urges us, as far as it depends on you. Meaning we shouldn't end a relationship with our family members, but when we must, we need to respect their decision. It is when the bridge has been burned that we hear the challenging words of Christ. And it is because of the gospel that the relationship ends. But even then, the best thing we can do is pray that they would come to know the Lord and that relationship would be mended. And if it never comes to that, thank God. If all the members of your family are believing, thank the good Lord. But when it gets dicey, we need to hear the words of Jesus. Second point is, Jesus tells us to discern the time. Luke 12:54 through 56 says this, and he was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? The people of Jesus' time living in Israel could discern that a west wind from the Mediterranean Sea meant rain, and a south wind from the desert means heat. Our weatherman doesn't always get it quite that well, but they knew and were able to predict these physical signs. But Jesus' rebuke to them was that they concentrated on the superficial. They were able to understand the realities of weather, but they ignored the substantial issues of life that the very Messiah was standing in their midst, and yet they did not understand. They did not believe. They understood the winds blowing across the land of Israel, but not the wind of God and the work of God in sending the Lord Jesus. They discerned the skies, but not the heavens. The people who witnessed Christ's teaching and miracles had ample evidence that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and they should have been able to discern that this was the time of Messiah's coming and responded to faith in the Lord. And so he calls out those in the crowd who could not discern the time of Christ and yet discerned the weather, that they missed the more important, meaty areas of life in the coming of God's one and only Son. And so he calls on them to discern the times. My third point is that he also calls us to be reconciled to God. In this last section of the passage, the Lord uses the illustration of someone taking another person to court. Anyone with a weak defense should secure an out-of-court settlement before the case goes to trial, Jesus says. If the person with a weak defense allows the case to proceed to trial, he will pay the last penny to his debt to society while he's in prison. So settle the matter before it ever gets there. Likewise, sinners should be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. In this case, if they do not, they will suffer God's judgment at the last day. Our Lord Jesus Christ is making a lesser to greater argument. If we do all in our power to make sure that matters of earthly justice, people get the best settlement that they can with an out-of-court settlement, we also all the more need to have our accounts settled with God through faith in Jesus. Sinners should not be lulled into a false sense of peace and thinking that God will relent and give them leniency. If they rely on that false reasoning that God loves everybody, therefore everybody is going to heaven without exception, they are in a false sense of peace. God has provided our salvation through the life, sacrificial death, and resurrection of his Son. But before the tribunal of God, we come and we must come to receive the verdict of righteousness, not based on our own works, but on the work of God's Son for us. But if we do not come to God in God's way, through him who is the way, the truth, and the life, then the person will receive his just judgment from God, and the penalty will be inflicted to the uttermost. May we love Christ above all, above our own family members. May we discern the times, and may we be reconciled to God, loving him and trusting in him alone for salvation. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us strength and joy in serving you as followers of Christ, and fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we may love you above all. For you live and reign with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.